Come on. Shy-pedia. I want to welcome everyone to another episode of Shypedia Podcast, Chicago Media for the People. I'm your host, Marsha. And I have this is one heck of a way to bring in 2019, because I have the most hype. We lit up in the studio, in this new studios. We need this light.
We bring the heat.
That's right. They done brought the heat. Right. I love this. Thank you. Thank you so much. And once again, thank you for joining me here on Shypedia Podcast. This is a special show because this is all about the culture. Yes. Yesterday was MLK Day, Martin Luther King Jr. And we're still celebrating his legacy and all the things that he's done for us. But today we are promoting something else that happened in our history that was so meaningful. Mr. Don Cornelius, as we all know, he is the founder of Soul Train. The
Soul Train.
Wait a minute, let's hear that in a male voice real quick.
Soul Train.
That was in his Don Cornelius voice.
No, that's my voice.
Soul
in his
Train.
Head.
Soul Train. That's
hey,
it right there.
You know
yeah.
what? That was sexy enough, because if you saw him right now, okay.
Right.
I'm just saying, you know, I like to throw out some compliments every now and then.
You know,
so this brother right here, he's sexual chocolate. He brings the true meaning,
see
the real
I'm
meaning
saying?
For sexual chocolate.
You gotta know it's the truth. Because I told you when we was in Vegas, I was like, baby, you better be a green M&M.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Fine chocolate
That's
stuff.
Right. Sweet
Hello?
Tooth on deck. Holler at me. OG
but
sweet
he,
tooth.
But his teeth don't look like he got a cavity nowhere
That's
in
right.
there.
I stay brushing.
That's right.
Now,
That's right.
These two people that you're hearing right now, we have a queen of soul, mm-hmm. R&B soul. I don't care. She is one of the queen, one of the queens
absolutely.
Of R&B, Miss Kelly Price.
Legend.
And then, yes, she is a legend.
Thank you.
In living flesh. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's right.
Legend as an artist and even more legendary as a human being, everybody.
Period.
If you have an opportunity to meet Miss Kelly Price, you will see exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, thank you,
and she's,
sir.
Oh, my gosh. She's gorgeous, you guys.
Oh,
she is
you.
Gorgeous. Yep.
Thank you.
So
we call her Pink M&M.
Pink M&M.
Yeah. We got green and pink.
Okay. Okay.
No.
So these two are the cast of American Soul. Mm-hmm. This is part of a BET series that we have coming up.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is
going to
be February 5th.
February 5th.
Yes.
Wow. The train takes off on February 5th.
The train takes off. No, it comes back.
Yeah.
Train comes back. Here's the thing. Kelly is such a prolific writer that she can make anything sound good. That's an ad lib right there. The train takes off February 5th. That's just improv. I'm going to ad-lib a new song by Kelly Price, you know?
That's
Come on.
What, that makes
we wrote songs today. St. Quaz Burger.
Hey, St. Quaz Burger. Hit him with it, Kelly. Oh. They don't know about it.
Come on.
These are my internal thoughts when I'm hungry.
I want a double patty, a toasted on a bun, lettuce and tomatoes on the side, but don't give me no rye. Hold the cheese. Pickles, please. Sinquas burger.
Yes.
Sinquas burger.
That's how I order from now on.
That's how we're ordering from now on.
Servers, don't talk to me. Talk to Kelly. That's all I'm saying.
You're not talking today. Just,
Kelly?
Sir, may I help you?
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall during the filming of this.
It was an amazing experience. Honestly, we talk about it as a cast all the time, and we categorize it as a gift. You know, you get an opportunity to work with special people, special souls who came together to create something special.
Yeah.
And the irony is of the chemistry that Kelly and I have is we didn't have a lot of days on set together in the show, but always in passing it was love.
Yes.
And that's special. It was a special, special thing.
I was just coming on days that I wasn't supposed to be there so I could lust.
That's okay. She was about to say love. She didn't flip the script on me. Let me take
that. Love don't live here. 2019.
Tina asked the question already.
Oh my goodness. So we know that Sequoia Walls.
Yes.
He played Mr. Don Cornelius.
He became Don Cornelius.
He transformed. There's a difference.
He became Don. There were days on set, I can honestly say, I would look at him and he was so deep in thought, even between the takes, that Sequoia got lost.
Yeah.
And Don.
And I heard that's what normally happens, yes, though, when you take on roles like that. Sometimes it's kind of hard to break character outside of work.
Yes.
Even when you're done filming. Has that happened to you?
In some ways it did. You know, honestly, beginning the process and all the research that I did to try to just create this authentic portrayal of this man, I tried to dive in as much as possible. So on the weekends, I didn't take a lot of social time.
Right.
I took it as research time. And kind of like when you're learning a new language, you start to know that you're learning it as you start to dream in it. And I started to dream in Don's thoughts. And I even had dreams, like there's a scene where we have a train coming at him. And I started dreaming that the train was coming at me. And I knew that I was heavily invested, and also just to, you know, pace myself so that I don't get too lost and not coming back from those moments and experiences. Yeah. Like Kelly said, I would literally be in thought.
No, I could look at him and know that Sequoia had left the building.
Yeah.
Wow. In real life.
It's like an exorcism or something.
But it's the most amazing thing. Thank because you. Great actors don't act.
Thanks, Kel.
They interpret, yes, they become, yeah, they bring out the parts of themselves that lives inside of the person that they need to transmit to the world. And he definitely did it. Like, I was very, very inspired. This is my first series. I've done guest stars. I've done recurring roles. I've done theater. But I feel amazingly blessed to have worked on a set with Sequoia, with Jason, with these amazing, gifted actors. Now, every day was a clinic for me.
Well, and so you played the mother of Simone and Kendall. So you're Mrs.
Yes,
Clark.
I am Mrs. Clark. Okay. And my children are two of the original Soul Train gang members. Yes. Incredibly talented kids that want music careers and see becoming a part of this show as an opportunity to get a foot in the door to launch them into where they want to go. And so they become two of the lead dancers on the show.
Absolutely. Okay, so would you say this is like a bio? This is a drama series, but it's also a documentary. Would you mix the two together?
I think documentary is a great way to say it. Yeah. It's very biographical.
It is.
In the sense that we use a lot of realistic moments and history that happened during that time to help infuse and tell this story. We've taken some creative license in evolving storylines, but still being authentic to things that happened from the social movement, from the political climate, from, you know, how those moments affected characters that were living
in those times.
For the Clarks, there were people who were affected by the origination of Soul Train, but you just didn't know what they dealt with in their home.
Right.
And now you got to have that representation going in the Clark family and Kelly and all. Yeah.
Yes.
So can we get a brief storyline?
From me on what her story is?
Putting it together of what American Soul is, what we're to expect.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So we all know that Don Cornelius started Soul Train here in Chicago, went to Los Angeles because he wanted to take it national. The great thing about American Soul is that we're not just telling the story of how this entertainment mogul was born and how he developed the series. We are fully covering the times. During those years, there was the civil rights movement going on. People were being murdered. People were still being lynched. People were marching for their freedom. There was a draft going on. There was a war going on. Just stuff. And so what I love, I call it edutainment because it's entertainment, but I feel like we'll have an opportunity to educate this generation.
Absolutely.
Through entertainment on what it was that was going on at that time, not just in a history book, not just that mama or daddy or auntie or granny and them hollering, you know, y'all don't know any better because you didn't live through anything. They will actually have an opportunity to see racism, racial profiling in that time and really understand that with no internet, they don't understand a world without internet. There were no cell phones. There are emergencies that take place where I'm at home and I don't know if my kids are alive or dead until they walk through the door. Right. There were no cell phones.
Right. Yeah.
There was no social media. People didn't, you know, so it's a whole other way of life that they will have an opportunity to see the things that were sacrificed by people so they can be on Instagram and show their tail.
Yeah, that's like she said, that's a true statement. I think setting we have very deep conversations as a cast, and you talk about setting precedent. And what we'll do in the edutainment of this is show people what the precedent is that led to today of social media, led to all these artists being able to have voices. That was the composition of what Soul Train was. And one of the biggest things she said historically, you know, for example, in the show, we touch on MLK's assassination.
Yes.
But what's interesting for a lot of people is they'll study that in the history books and know that it happened. Mm-hmm. But how did it affect the social climate at that time?
Yes.
How did it affect people really living in it? And then how is that manifested today? We do that in the show because you'll be able to see it where it wasn't like MLK was a historical figure that wasn't reachable by you because of the time.
Yes.
These people were dealing with it. And this is how it affected Don. This is how it affected Brianne. Like, this is how it affected all these characters in real time if you were living in that moment.
Yeah. A piece of every black person felt like a piece of them died the day he was assassinated.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Because his movement, his determination to stand up, his birthday just, you know, being celebrated yesterday, he lost his life trying to make sure that, you know, we didn't have to get dragged off of buses.
Correct.
You know, that we could get a fair wage. Correct. So that we you know, and you don't know it unless you've lived it. And so to be able to see it firsthand, that is really a secret hope of mine that's not so secret right now, that it will be an awakening for the next generation. I mean, it's real easy to complain and say, oh, this generation is so entitled. But you can't expect them to know what they haven't lived. I say that to my own children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have children in their 20s. I talk to them about being homeless and waiting online for cheese and butter and you know, old food in cans that were government subsidies.
Yeah.
But that's me fussing.
Yeah.
They don't know it because my kids have always lived an affluent life.
Yes.
So we will have the opportunity.
That's what we worked for.
We worked
towards that for them.
Right.
But we have the opportunity to show them why you must always honor it and respect it, and we get to do it while we make them dance.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
and that's why this film is important for them to see.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I'm fortunate to say that I was able to experience, even though I was a little young, I was able to experience not the whole Soul Train. I was brought about, let's say, 10 years after the start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you still got Don Cornelius.
Soul Train was implemented in your life.
I was born in the 80s, but raised in the 90s.
He was still hosting.
He was.
And I was still around during the time, let's see, early on, it was just black and white television.
Right.
Yeah.
And there wasn't much to watch on television, but we did have Soul Train to look forward to.
Right. Yes.
You know, so that brought us life with keeping up with music.
Yes.
Music is everything.
Yes.
It was us.
It was us.
Unapologetically.
Yes.
I love to say that phrase. It was us.
So,
unapologetically.
So did this have an effect on who you are as an artist?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
More than you know. That's are you ready question. For my story?
Yes, absolutely.
So we all know that I started out as a writer and a producer and singing background for a bunch of people. And at the time that I was coming up through the 90s, there was Aaliyah, there was Tamia, there was Deborah Cox, there was Shantae Moore. Nobody looked like Kelly Price. All the heads of the labels knew who I was because I was writing for all of their artists and singing on all of their artists' records, but nobody wanted to sign me because I was too black, too fat, and too loud.
Mm.
And so having met Ronald Isley after writing and producing for him, he was like, you need to make your own records. And he had to convince me because I didn't feel like I could compete in a market that said I wasn't good enough, even though I could outsing almost anybody.
Mm.
And so Don Cornelius was a huge supporter of Kelly Price. My campaign for Friend of Mine was no visual images. We did not shoot a video. It was a logo, the KP with the designer glasses, and that's everything that went out on me.
Mm.
Before anybody ever saw what I looked like, I had a number one song.
Mm.
And my very first national appearance, when the world got a chance to see the girl that was singing that song that everybody was singing in the country, it was on Soul Train.
Wow.
What?
And my very first award was the Soul Train Music Award for Best New Artist.
Wow.
Did you not know that, Cinqua?
No, I mean, listen, Kelly has shared a lot of stories with me, but this is not the one that she has shared with me of yet until today. Could you imagine a world where we were robbed of her voice on a larger platform like we have now?
Goodness.
I did not know that.
When I got this role, I cried like a baby because it was very full circle for
me.
To be a part of the telling of this story, knowing that after a conversation with Hiram Hicks and Ronald Isley, and they played him the music, and he was like, who wouldn't let this girl sing? And we introduced me to the United States on a Soul Train stage.
And so they changed the game for not only black women,
yes.
but women of all statures,
yes.
all shapes
yes.
and sizes.
Yeah.
the world got to see that women that look like me just don't sing opera house music or gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to do it if I couldn't represent who I wanted to represent. And if I could write an R&B joint or a banger for the club for the skinny girl, why can't I do it?
Right.
If I can write a song that makes you want to fall in love for the thin girl mm-hmm. with the long hair, why can't I do it? There are men out here that like what
I
like.
I just want to thank Kelly Price for writing songs that make me fall in love with everybody. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Hey, you know what I mean? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, tic-tac-toe.
Come
I love
on,
all of y'all.
That's right.
Thank you,
that's
Kelly
right.
Price.
That's right.
But pick it up off of that. Like, it's interesting because one of the things that people have asked me several times is, you know, a big characteristic of Don, which I think was integrity. And at the end of the day, even in the show, he has monologues and speeches where he talks about authenticity and integrity and being responsible for that. And that's an integrity space.
Yes.
Where you're saying it's about the music. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what, you know, I guess typically society may say is beautiful or not beautiful, which we all know beauty comes in all shapes and sizes and it is in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
But this man was like, I want to make a great show. Unapologetically so, that he was like, her voice is amazing.
Yeah.
And the world needs to hear.
And the world needs to hear.
And they need
it.
To see who it's coming from.
Exactly.
This ain't no Nilly Vanilly, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I'm really, really blessed that I had the opportunity to take the platform when he was still at the helm of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He literally was waiting in the wings after I got my award and gave my acceptance speech, and I walked off and I kind of just fell into him and cried.
What did he say?
It was a great moment. I was crying. He said, "Did you think you wouldn't win?" I was like,
"Yo." And that's what I mean. He was a simply stated, not a simply stated man. He was a complex man who gave very specific answers, like with no apology.
And
did you think
thing,
you weren't going?
That's the part of something that a lot of us did not see.
Right.
We didn't
because
know
there
Don
was
Cornelius.
No social media.
Right.
That's
yes.
actually what I've told the kids on set.
Right.
That you can know what Cardi B ate for lunch
correct.
While
yeah.
she's eating it.
Correct.
Yeah.
You didn't know anything. We had the 6 o'clock news. We had the National Enquirer.
Right.
And one of them you absolutely didn't want to be in. But that's how you found out things about people.
Right.
You couldn't just click on a button and know everything that they were doing.
We did not know who the real...
There was mystique to celebrity.
There was. Hey, it gives a lot of creative license to the person playing Don because you can put a lot in there. Yeah.
Right. So that had to be a little complex because you stepping into this role. Now, I hate to ask a gentleman his age.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
I'm old enough that I did not... I'm old enough... that I did not necessarily see Don Cornelius. No, I did. I saw Don. I saw the transition from Don to Maestro Clark, from Maestro Clark to Shamar Moore.
So
I had enough experience with watching Soul Train over the years to know that where the precedent came
from.
So
did it have any type of effect on you growing up?
Absolutely, because Soul Train came on after all my commercials. I mean, not my commercials, my cartoons. And naturally, you watch it after that, and you just see the music. That's where I first met a lot of music artists.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's where I first saw a lot of like Snoop Dogg and all like the rappers that I wanted to see, even though I know that was a transition that he wasn't always for because the music was changing.
Yeah.
But that's where I first met them. That's where I first was like, let's go to the corner store now because I just saw who this artist was and see if they have a mixtape.
Yeah.
It started with Soul Train for me and all my friends.
Those times were so much more fulfilling.
Amazing.
I'm sorry, you know, but we had, even though it seemed like we didn't have much, but we had so much more to live for.
Right.
Felt like, I mean, so much to look forward to.
Well, we were reaching for more. And when you get to a point where, you know, everything is just kind of hands-on and everything is so accessible, you don't appreciate it as much. So being in this space right now, I can truly say that I've lived through a time where I really had to grapple for what it is that I wanted. And, you know, back then, those things are now more accessible. So, you know, the hustle is a different one.
Right.
But it makes you appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It makes you appreciate it.
I'm grateful.
The telling of this story is so very necessary. There was no such thing as putting up a video, getting a million hits, and you're an overnight star.
Right.
You worked it.
No,
it was grassroots.
You had to hustle.
I love all of it. I love the thuggery of it. I love the fact that, you know, you could be a nice guy, but nice guys don't necessarily win in this town. So you got to know some people that know some people to cut some
and
people.
That's,
like,
that's
all
a part of the show. That's like, she
it's
said, that's a part of the show that Don really realizes. Like, he had to align himself with certain people that would be on the other end behind the velvet curtain to push his dream forward. And like
also
she said,
protect him from that element that would try to snuff him.
Shout out to Jason Durden playing Geraldine.
Absolutely.
Because he was our manifestation of that character in the wings who moves things when Don can't necessarily move things openly.
Okay.
So shout out to him.
So we get to learn more about him.
Yeah.
This is
about Don, about, yes, you do. Yeah. You learn a lot for all intents purposes about Don Cornelius through this.
I'm grateful that they've allowed us to be very honest in telling the story.
Yes.
It's a story worth telling.
So they allowed you some input on this as well. Now, it was directed by
everybody.
Everybody. Peter O'Fallon.
It was produced O'Fallon, by Robert Jesse Townsend. Collins.
Jesse Collins. Produced by Jesse Collins. Shout out to Jesse Collins,
Jesse.
JC Entertainment. Yes, yes, yes.
We're going out. We'll tell you about that later.
We'll tell you about that later, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. That's a yes. Okay, so how many weeks did you guys tape together? I mean, this relationship looked like you guys been together. You've been knowing each other for years. So how long?
I feel like we have. It's a connection and a synergy. This woman is an authentic person. I try to always be a grounded, authentic human being. Yeah. He's and amazing. That's just a genuine connection that we have.
Yeah.
4 months, but it feels like a lot longer.
It feels like a lot longer. We literally were in one scene together.
We had one scene.
At the very end of the season, he in the club, he ain't even talking to me. He's talking to my kids, and I'm like, damn, he's fine.
And that was it. But it was never actually a direct conversation.
I'm lusting over Don Cornelius and my kids' performance. It's terrible.
Yo, I had an opportunity to watch her first day. She didn't know I was there, but I told her afterwards, like, I came to set because I had a light week. Well, not a light week. I had a light Friday. I had a light Friday, not a light week. And I came to watch Kelly, which I didn't know was, like, you know, this first moment, and she rocked it. She was so emotionally invested and just committed and truthful. All I can say is, you guys, if you've already been fans of her and you get a chance to watch it, you're going to become even more Miss fans. You're going to gain a respect. And all those auteurs out there who consider themselves actors, this woman is an actress who also can sing, not the other way around.
Thank you.
That's me.
Thank you.
I'm one of those fans, and I've been waiting for some more Kelly Price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More.
Yes. Well, the music is ready.
Okay.
I was preparing to work on the marketing plan for the new music when I got the call that I had been cast as Brienne. So I was like, okay, well, we'll go on and make the show.
Okay.
And we'll put music out after we're done. So I'm looking to have a single out probably like just before the season finishes.
And I have to say that I can respect it even more now because I understand what I'm listening to.
Yes.
Back then, she was a friend of mine.
Baby.
You know, and I was just a kid and I didn't really understand it, but I understand
now.
Let me tell you something. I think a fan said it to me best. Kelly, when you sing, it just makes me want to cry and curse and go to church and fight. And I said, yeah, all of those things at the same time.
And as a man, it makes me just want to stop and say, I ain't going to cry right now, but maybe I'm going to shed a tear, baby. Or, you know what I mean? I'm going to cry by myself, but I'm going to let you know that I'm crying. No, for real, when Kelly sings, you literally have a moment where you go, why am I so emotional?
When you walk through the door earlier, I lied to you not. I wanted to, I felt it. It was right there.
It's a little, it gets
it
you.
It was right there.
Wow. Yes.
And I wanted to greet you with, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, did you see me singing on Instagram?
Yeah. and I got some beautiful people in the studio. Yeah. You know, the song that they came in on, though, she flipped it on me. It was a Stevie Wonder joint.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, listen. Like,
well, listen, I flipped the ABCs, too. Yeah. You can make anything soulful if you put your heart into it.
Yes. That's the gift.
Is that how you taught your kids growing up?
You know what? They came out musical. I sang and recorded the entire time I was pregnant with them, so they came out and they knew my voice when they came out of me. Wow. They would perk up immediately.
Music, it does that for us.
Yeah.
It does that.
Yeah.
Well, her voice, I mean.
And it's a great learning tool. So I'm a grandma, too. And so I taught my grandbabies.
Grandma.
I taught my grandbabies how to spell their name by writing them a song that spelled their name out.
Wow.
And they learned the song, thereby learning how to spell. They knew how to spell their names by the time they were one.
Wow.
Because they sang the song.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine Kelly singing you to
I
ABC?
Know.
Do better in all aspects of life. When Kelly Price is singing you to ABC, like, what are you gonna do now?
Yeah. We need to just go ahead and record that.
No sleep.
Well, can you teach calculus too? I want to learn calculus by melody. I need that because my math sucks.
Listen, music is a great learning tool.
One plus one equals two. Wait a minute. I just thought about another song. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I learned how to say the months of the year in Spanish because it was a song.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know the months of the year in Spanish. Mm-hmm. I know the days.
Enero, febrero, marzo, abril, mayo y junio y julio, agosto, septiembre, octubre, noviembre, diciembre.
That was the song.
Okay.
Hey, más bueno, mami, más bueno.
Hey!
Me encanta, you know what I mean?
Now, these are some big roles.
Yes.
Cinqua, how did you step into this role? How did you get this role?
How did I get the role? You know, I was fortunate that I was actually filming a movie at the time over the summer. And towards the tail end of me finishing the movie, my agent had got the script for American Soul. And she was like, when you get an opportunity, read it. I think it's one of the best things that I've read, and I think you're going to like it. And I'm and everyone that knows me knows I read things very intently, and I'm like very a stickler for content. So I read it, and I was like, this is really good. I was like, wow, like this is amazing. Like, it was a really good script. I asked her who wrote it, and she was telling me more about it, and I was like, can I read another one? And she was like, yeah, we think we can get you one more. So I read another one. And then from there, you know, I had my take on the character, my mindset on the character. I always saw the character as two people. I saw the Don, like you guys talked about, the Don that hosted and the Don that we know. Yeah. There's Don Cornelius and there's DC. So I was like, I really want to dive into DC and that man who unpacks all the elements of himself. And I had an opportunity to talk to the creators about it and talk to the showrunner about it. And our visions aligned. And then from there, they're like, you know, come to LA and do a chemistry with other cast members that they're considering. And then we'll kind of work from there. So I went out and did it. And we found that we really had a further synergy. And the rest is history. You know, then the role just aligned. And there we were. And you know, I started my preparation from that day after.
Okay, so he was also known as DC.
That's right.
I just learned that.
Yeah.
And
well, DC is me coming up. Like, I created.
Oh, you created DC.
I created a way to mentally separate him so that I knew that the transition of essentially Clark Kent going from Superman.
Yes. Okay.
You have DC going to Don Cornelius, mm-hmm. and the cape comes on, and the hair gets bigger, and the glasses come on, and then it's time for the show. But then the man has to deal with all the other aspects.
Okay.
And that's DC.
Now,
how
many
people in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
The one rooted in Chicago.
Really, yes, yeah. Maneuver in Chicago.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And what I love about Don and what I learned about him is his ability to smile, but like Kelly said, have that secret that he was ready at all times.
At all times.
Don was ready at all times. He had a boxing background. He almost was a pro fighter. Mm-hmm. He was ready to throw him if he needed to.
Former police officer.
Now, who coached you
military?
Did his family come through? And
so, you know what? I was able to talk to his son, Tony Cornelius.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Tony Cornelius and the entire Cornelius family, because you guys have been so, so gracious with giving me information. He shared anything I wanted to know.
Wow.
He answered any questions I ever had. And he was always just available and open and sending me positive words of affirmation anytime I went into the day as we started the project. So I think his blessing and his cosign really gave me the confidence that I was moving in the right direction. Yeah. And then really, truly, shout out to my acting coach, Ted Slaberski, who's in New York City. We Skyped all the time. I know he's going to get mad at me for saying his name, but he's someone that I really, because he's that guy that doesn't want publicity. He actually just won a Golden Globe and an Emmy Award for The Marvelous Miss Maisel. So shout out to them.
Woo!
He coached her. Yeah,
wow.
yeah. He's a fire. He's fire, and he's going to kill me because I said his name. But Ted.
What?
I told you.
Coaches. My coach always says, don't say my name.
I know, because they want to stay in that that anonymous space. But Ted Slaberski.
I like it.
I know you're going to text me tomorrow. I know you're going to email me tomorrow. And I know you're going to kill me. But I have to show you love for giving me that tutelage. You know, Ted Slaberski.
is
going to kill me.
He had the whole Soulja Boy going at the end.
Ted Slaberski,
right,
that's your name. I'm like, Cinqua, baby, now.
Yeah.
I'm singing with
Yo, Lord. He's going to kill me.
Ted
Slaberski.
The whole Soulja Boy.
Yes, man. We really, like, we worked. I mean, that man really, like, late at night on the phone, on FaceTime, like, man, Ted, I got a question. I'm trying to find a way, a gateway into this scene. Saturdays, when I wasn't working, but he also took the time not to work. Sundays, taking the time not to work. On you know, the train going to visit his family upstate New York, and still taking time for me. Ted Slaberski, I know you didn't want me to say your name, brother, but I have to shout you out because I'm so gracious for you. Grateful for you.
So, Ted Slaberski, we're not going to say your name no more, Ted Slaberski.
Nah.
I'm just going to title this Ted Slaberski.
Ted Slaberski.
Okay, so how many episodes is going to be?
10 episodes.
10 episodes.
Okay. To really
so this
get this
is
going to
air every
Tuesday. And it starts February
5th. So you guys going to tease us like this?
Every Tuesday?
I guess we got a little spoiled because of Netflix.
This is going to be your weekly appointment.
We
like
want
back
you to
in
come back.
I'm telling you, bring it back. Y'all making it old school for real.
We want water cooler television. That's what we want. You know, those shows that you watch where on the next day at work, you go, man, did you get to see? And we want people to be like, yo, did
and
you watch American Soul?
Because if I didn't see it, shut up. Don't tell me because I got to go home and watch it.
Yeah,
it wasn't
man.
No record, nothing back then.
I haven't watched the episode yet. I got a DVR. Why you tell me that?
Certain shows, like you wouldn't even be on Facebook because somebody going to spoil
something.
And so that's just a clue of what we have to expect, because the same producer of the Bobby Brown story has also done the American Soul, and this was something that all of us looked forward to, these shows. He did an excellent job.
Phenomenal job. And his entire JCE team, I mean, they are amazing. They are hard workers. They are committed to creative integrity. Shout out to the whole JCE team.
We love you.
We do.
All right.
We were very blessed.
We were.
We've been talking about it, and we talked about it again today. We were extremely blessed. We worked not only with incredibly gifted people, but we worked with kind people. Because if you are gifted and you suck, that's not easy to be around.
That's not the consolation. Like,
we literally worked with people who genuinely cared about the well-being of others.
Of others, like the show, but more importantly, others. You have people who care about the show, and they care about you by proxy of the show. These people cared about us and then the show.
That's so rare.
You're not looking like a... You all right? Like, you could see, there were days when I could see, like, a PA who was having a bad day, and somebody would be in the corner, like, hugging them, and they're breaking down because they got something personal going on. We took care of each other.
We became a family all the way around, like, the crew. Like, there was this video from our rap party that went viral, and if you saw it, it was a party. And typically for us in this business, people go to the rap party, eventually they leave. For you as well, like, you know, they'll come to the rap party, they'll kind of do their I do's and see you's, and then they'll see you later. Nobody left. Our rap party started at 10 and ended at what, 3?
It was like 3 in the morning. I left because I had dental surgery. And I came to the party with my mouth guard on.
But we all were like, Kelly, what are you doing here?
Yeah. I was like,
honey, I wasn't messing up.
I had my mouth guard in. I was like, hey, y'all.
But it's a testament to the family that we created from top to bottom in all aspects.
That's what it's all about. Family is so important. I want to touch on the wardrobes. Now, we started out in the 70s. And so we worked our way through. Is this going to shift? We're going to see the change?
As the seasons roll out, but we are in a specific time frame.
That's correct.
Rita
and Alita,
flashbacks.
Entire wardrobe team.
Oh my God.
Award winners.
Alita. Oh my God.
I'll let Kelly take it from there, but they are award winners.
Let me tell you something. The job that they did daily, because it wasn't just Sinclair, it wasn't just Jason, Iantha, me, the kids.
Right.
They had to dress upwards of 50 extras every day. And
every day.
A period piece.
Yes.
So everything from hair.
Yes.
There was a whole warehouse with racks and racks and racks of clothes in every size, shoes in every size. There were wigs. They were very, very meticulous and paid close attention to detail. They let nothing slip. And our producers, again, and just everybody had the eye so that nothing slipped. It was an amazing thing to watch them move and maneuver through so many people. And on the days when you shot episodes of Soul Train, they easily could dress 150 people in one day.
The Soul Train day episodes, the days when we shot Soul Train on the stage, the amount of people that they dressed, I mean, we had dancers, we had people that were in the sound booth, we had people who were just working as crew on the stage, and they dressed all of them uniquely and authentically. Like, everybody looked different.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And the attention, like she said, the fine attention to detail and the colors and the fabric.
Amazing. The shot you and Paris, that literally they had a photo of Don Cornelius, Mr. Lawrence Cornelius,
in these outfits and they recreated these outfits. When Ike and Tina perform, yes. they recreate the look from their performance. When Gladys Knight performs, they recreate that look, the look of the Pips. Like, they literally.
Oh, my goodness.
It is greatness.
We get to step back into a time.
Yeah, yes. And it's excellent.
Yes.
It's excellent. Everybody came and everybody worked intentionally in excellence. And to watch that happen every day, I'm just glad to be a part of it. I'm like, hey, God, you like me.
Hey.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. He loves you. Hey, God, love me as much as you love Kelly.
Jesus loves you. He does.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And so we mentioned Gladys Knight. We know that Kelly Rowland
That's
is
correct.
Playing Gladys Knight.
Amazing. Killing Have you it. Seen the parallel?
Yes.
Yes. That was a good pick.
And the
that
work.
That was a good pick. Yes.
And the work.
And the work.
And the work. She really, truly did the work.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She stepped into that role, dedicated it.
And then we have Michelle Williams.
Yes.
There's
Diana Ross. Yes.
Diana Ross.
Diana Ross.
Yes.
Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady. Yes.
Little Richard. Richard.
Yes.
Richard. Okay.
Yes.
We've got Bobby Brown.
We got Bobby.
We got Bobby.
Bobby is playing
Rufus Thomas.
He's playing Rufus Thomas. Oh my! And he has the cul-de-sac.
Now, listen, he committed. You know, at the end of the day, when you see like an entertainer who was an entertainer through and through and committed to it, you commit to it.
You commit.
And you think about like all the things that Bobby has done, right? And he still was like, this is what my truth is in this moment. He committed to the cul-de-sac. And when you see the outfit that he has on, he committed to that too.
Yeah, he did.
Shout out to BB for being a team player, man.
Yes.
This is a tease.
Yeah.
This is such a tease.
Tell you.
And I also wanna talk about is Babyface? Was he the music director?
Music director.
This whole lineup is just all
crazy.
Star.
It's crazy.
I mean, come on.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
City.
Come on, y'all.
Listen,
listen. February 5th, American Soul, come mess with us. We're trying to do something special.
In addition to them like having to license so much incredible music that we already know from the artists.
Right.
Babyface has written some incredible period pieces.
Yes, he has.
Original pieces. Yeah. So the kids, they've got incredible original music penned and produced by Babyface.
And just just his function of humility. Babyface is a very humble man. And
yes,
like you said, the community that we created in American Soul, if there's one word, it's humility. It's family, it's humility. And like everyone that stepped in, everyone that was a part of it, that was still geniuses in their space, was committed to that humble energy. And like he was just like, I'm trying to be a part of it. Like y'all trying to be a part of it. And it was
and let me tell you how truthful that is.
Yeah.
Because he wrote a song and our showrunner got it, and he was like, this is not the feel I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about what it's like to go back to Babyface and say, nice song, but...
not the one.
No. He went back to the drawing board.
Right.
And literally, I know because the night that I came in to record with him, he was finishing up the other song because they were coming by to hear it.
Right.
So he wrote an original, and it was literally the duet that I had to do with my daughter. And in that night, I recorded two songs, and she recorded two songs. Mm-hmm. I came straight from the set. I came there. I recorded a Nina Simone cover that he produced.
Wow.
And then, Caitlin and I.
You know that's probably a spoiler because Kelly looked to the left to see if she could even say that.
Right. Right.
Did I say that? I was like, wait, I didn't even know that.
So I didn't say that. Boy, you can't unsay a sentence, can you?
We just got confirmation we can say it.
Duet with my daughter, which he finished while I was there in the studio. And she came and we recorded it, and I left at like 2 a.m. and she was still going because she had another song to record. Wow. So, like, we worked.
Everybody put their work in on this one, man. They really did.
I'm looking forward to it. This is February 5th.
February 5th, 2019. American Soul. Come on, man. Mess
on
with
BET,
us, man. On BET.
10 episodes.
Yeah, don't get left back.
Yeah.
Don't
be the only one at the water cooler that didn't know what happened the night before.
Yeah. Don't be standing in the train station with the pulls out.
And no spoiler alerts online, social media.
Bar. Tell them again, Kelly. Tell
don't
them
be standing in the train station when the train pulls out.
Wow.
Don't get left.
Don't get left.
Don't get left behind. Don't get left behind.
I got my metro. Metro Pass. I hope you guys got yours too. I got my Metro Pass. I'm out
here. People get ready. There's a train a coming.
You don't need no ticket. You just get on board. Get on board, y'all. Get on board. American soul. Get on board. Hey.
Now that's not another spoiler alert, is it? Because that was so. That sounds so official. That's not another spoiler, is it?
No, but that's.
I put that on the spot.
But that's what's going to happen if you don't watch the show.
Oh,
don't,
my God.
Yeah, you're going to get
so
left.
Ready.
Yeah.
I am so ready. And February is Black History Month.
Let's go.
And this is perfect. I'm ready.
Timing.
He said, let's go.
Yeah. Let's go.
That's it.
Let's
right
go.
There. Yeah. Any advice that you would like to give to any aspiring artists, actors, or anyone who want to work in the film industry?
I'll
like yourself.
This.
I'll
say this, guys, and this does not come with any fabrication. Dedicate yourself to your passion, mm-hmm. and everything else will come. A lot of times in our society, people try to follow the rule of trying to make money and serve that, or being driven in a direction that doesn't resonate with them and trying to serve that because other people are coaching them to that direction. You know what resonates with you. You know what gives a fire under your belly. Follow that, mm-hmm. and everything else will come. We are sitting here today as testaments to the fact that we followed our passion. If you do as well, you will find that you will have nothing but abundance on the other end. That's
absolutely.
All I have to say.
Absolutely. And I would add to that and say, and it really is just a continuation, study, like how dare I think that I can come into an industry to be a voice for the generations and not know the voices of the generations. I needed to know Ray Charles's music. I needed to know Marvin Gaye's music. I needed to know Aretha Franklin, Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight. I needed to know that. I can't call myself a great singer and not know who the great singers are. And I think a lot of times people think that just because they're talented, well, I don't know. You do need to know. You have to have something to study, something to pattern yourself after. And that never goes away. You have to always be a student. We don't ask a gentleman his age. I volunteer my age because I look like I'm 30, but I will be 46 in like 60 days. And
I don't know why. It seems like we all just like Benjamin Button.
And I'm still a student.
Yes.
I'm still a student. Yes. I get excited when I know I'm going to be in the presence of someone that I can learn something from that's where I'm trying to be. We were talking about people that we want to work with in our acting careers. I get to cross St. Croix off my list.
Hey, wow. Wow.
I get to cross St. Croix off my list, but I've been in a clinic for the last 4 months, and I'm super excited. I've learned so much from watching these amazing, gifted human beings. Mm-hmm. I get to play.
Like she said, watch those that came before you.
Yeah.
Study them, learn them so that you know how to make your artistry different. I mean, I read this book that was called How to Act in Film. And Michael Caine wrote it in the book. Michael Caine says that every great artist steals. But if you're going to steal, steal from the best.
From the best.
Mm.
So make sure you know, like you said, knowing who came before you so you can learn and take that and let it evolve. Steal from them so you can make yourself better.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Legacy.
Yes.
I love it. I would like to close out on that because you guys are keeping his legacy, Don Cornelius, alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he's passed, that don't mean that his legacy has died.
It's not going anywhere.
Not at all.
He's contributed so much to us.
He's never going anywhere.
He's never going anywhere.
He's never going
Soul
anywhere.
Soul Train lives on.
Yeah. Honored to tell this story. Honored to educate the next generation. And even more honored to be able to dispel some myths and give more of an understanding to even how his life came to an end.
Absolutely.
How he got there.
Absolutely.
I love the fact that we are addressing that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so many of us has the same story.
Mm-hmm.
But his story is teaching us how to move forward.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So I thank both of you. You're here for a reason.
Yeah.
You're back here where it all started in Chicago.
Imagine. Such an amazing gift. Such an amazing gift.
Yeah, Chicago.
Yeah, Chi-Town.
You know, I want to quiz you though, real quick though.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Okay, Lord have mercy. Study. You didn't know we was having a pop quiz.
Didn't know,
did you?
And I never did good on tests.
This is just a pop quiz. You won't be graded on it.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so first question.
All of the above.
Yes, very good. You got at least one of them, right?
That's right.
Yes.
So Soul Train was syndicated from what year to what year?
1971 to 2012.
I haven't.
1970
to 20.
2006. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Ah, 1971 to 2006.
Wasn't that long ago, but yeah, it was 2006. And Don Cornelius, okay. he was the host from what year to what year?
From episode one until...
No, it was not. He was the host from 1970.
From the very first episode.
Yep. 2006.
Yeah. No. Shamar Moore came in there.
Shamar came in after that. Well, he definitely made it. He definitely made it to the new millennium because he was hosting when I did Soul Train in 98. So it was either 2000 or 2001 because Album 2 came in 2000.
1971,
2003.
No,
93.
In 1993. No. He hosted when I was on in 98.
Okay.
I feel like it was 2001 or something like that.
It was either 2000 or 2001.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't back on stage. I wasn't back on stage with him for the second album, I don't think.
Okay. Well,
I mean, we don't even need history. We got Kelly Price.
You know what? Uh-oh, behind.
I was there. I was there.
Two more questions.
Matter of fact.
Don Cornelius started out as a what?
As a radio host.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a police officer. He was also in the military.
Yes.
He was a DJ.
Okay.
He was a disc jockey.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
With a voice like that.
Yeah.
Yes. And he started on local access. I mean, his first show and he was talking about current events, you know, asking people to call in and give their opinions. He started on local access and doing a radio show. Yeah.
WVON is one of the radio stations.
Yes. He worked. They're still here.
Yeah. They still
do news.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And one last one.
Okay.
Who was the media distributor for the Soul Train? Let's see. Do I have any clues around here?
WGN.
Not WGN,
but we're under
Tribune. Tribune. This is the Tribune Company.
Tribune Company. Uh-huh.
Hey, where's my phone? We can goggle it.
Tribune?
Tribune. This is Tribune Media. WGN is under Tribune.
So it was Tribune Media.
I think when it was broadcast, it was on Channel 9.
Well, yeah, because it was 9 here, and it was also Channel 9 in New York.
Okay. Yeah.
And then it was WPIX. He was moved to Channel 11 in New York.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. So much history.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely sparked my interest.
I failed all those tests. I failed every question.
No. It's okay.
All the research I did, and I don't even. Wow, man. Forgive me. I'll know by season 2.
I'm speaking as far as the history here in Chicago, you know.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of history. And you guys have a screening you have to attend. Today.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I'm excited.
I'm looking forward.
Are we watching the whole episode?
Ooh. Yeah. I can bring popcorn, right?
Yeah, bring popcorn. Bring popcorn and let us know what you think.
Some burger. Come on now. Let's talk about that patty.
Yeah.
Two patty.
Ooh. Yeah. Yes, two patties. Lettuce and tomatoes on the side.
Well, Miss Kelly Price, I also like to consider you a mentor, a godmother.
Aww.
You know, you're just a loving queen.
Thank you.
And Mr. Cinqua Walls, he's handsome, rising. I can only see just more doors opening for you.
Thank you.
You're busting through it.
Thank you.
Seen you on Power, The Breaks. He's doing his thing.
Yeah. And he's going to direct an episode of something that I write
in
the future. We've been having that conversation.
There it is. She looks.
And I'm here for it. I'll be in the audience cheering you guys on. You guys are great. You're amazing. And I'm looking forward to February 5th. February is going to be filled for me. My birthday is in February. So
happy birthday.
It's a great month.
What day? What date?
The 24th.
Aquarius. No. Pisces. Yeah. Okay. Pisces season.
So, you know, we'll be celebrating. It's a lot to celebrate in February.
It's a lot to celebrate in February.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you
for having us. Shot,